Welcome to Celebration Community Church's Sunday Sermon Series. Celebration is located in San Jose, California. We would love to have you join us on Sunday morning. Find out more at www.celebratejesus.net or call our office at 408-225-1000. Now, enjoy the message.
Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Nothing. But you will receive power. Thank you, sweetie. That's not in there, but that wasn't written in scripture, but thank you. Everybody take a drink.
Should we start over?
There we go. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Father, thank you for the promise that you've given to us and the empowering that you promised us. And we receive today what you would have for us, because your mercies are new every morning. Thank you for that abounding grace. And we ask that you would bless this time together this morning. Let us hear what the Spirit would say to the church. And we claim hearing ears. We claim understanding in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Amen. To do exceedingly abundantly. What? Exceedingly. How many of you know that's more than just enough? Exceedingly abundantly. Above all that you can ask or think. What an awesome God that we have. What a privilege it is to be able to understand the joy and the revelation that we're on God's side and God's on our side. We, as we have been saying, 2000. The reason I review this is to get it to on the website, and for those listening, the year of 2016, the year of grace and mercy. And we saw a little bit of, as we were explaining the whole understanding, God's favor to us, and then his mercy to those that don't know him and are trying to establish something. How many of you know that if you don't have any kind of focus, if you don't have any kind of focus, you're not going anywhere, or you don't know where you're going, and you don't know whether you get there or not. The Bible says that my people are perishing for a lack of wisdom, and he's saying my people. He's not saying the worldly people. He's saying my people. So what we're going to be seeing in these days ahead is an outpouring of revelation. And that's why it's so important for those, especially the old people, to listen up. Because God's going to be saying the same thing but meaning different things. There's a new revelation coming. I can't wait to get into 2017. And it's going to be on us before we even know it. Amazing. September, I'm still trying to figure out where March went. Ah, my gracious. But we said, more than ever, God needs you. And Luke 21:28 says, when these things begin to happen, stand with confidence. The time when God is going to move is near. And we have seen these things happen. We've been looking at the essentials for your ministry. And we also looked at the power of grace, God's favor for your ministry. We looked at speaking God's grace, speaking the situation. And I've told you, and I pray that you heard it, that the opportunity to be able to speak into every situation that does not align itself with the glory of God. No matter what you see, God says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I believe it is 5, it says that we are to take control and to bring everything that would rebel against the honor, the revelation of God into order. We have been called to bring order into the world. Somebody say amen, or I'm going to get a little insecure here again. We have been called in to bring order into the world. That's our job. So when you see confusion, when you see things that are not right, you have been given the ability or the permission to be able to speak grace into that situation and call things that are not as though they are. Like I said last week, I prayed and I spoke to God and I spoke to this nation. And I said, I call it into order. I call that which has been robbed from us, the confusion and all the things that have been set into motion, I call them out of our society, out of our laws and legislation. And it's going to happen come January the 20th. A lot of things that were set into motion are going to be dislodged, and things are going to be brought into order. Hallelujah is right. So, little old me talking to this nation, and you were there also, and there were many, many, many of us, we literally call this nation back into order, under God, indivisible. Indivisible. We can call order back into the United States. You have the power of life and death in your tongue. And there are so many people that speak death into the situation. They speak death to themselves. Oh, I'm never going to do this. We're never going to, never. God says, what you're doing, and this might be hard for some people to see or to hear, is you're cursing yourselves. And when they talk about this nation and how bad it is and whatever, if you don't understand the principle, then what you're doing is you're cursing this nation. And God says, I can only work when you call things into order, into my order. And the same thing with your life. When you call your finances into order, when you call your health into order, when you call your family into order, when you call your job situation into order, when you call your Christianity into order, God says, I can bless that. Because essentially what we're doing, and you heard me say it, I don't know how many times, hundreds of times, maybe even more than that. God says, I'm waiting for you to speak into the situation so that I can move into the situation. So if you're speaking life, God will move into that situation. And I knew in my spirit, man, that God hears the prayers of the saints. He hears your prayers. And we start speaking life. I'm going to encourage you in the days ahead, as I encourage you in the days behind. Speak into the situation and let God move into that thing. And when you hear something or you see things that are exalting itself against the knowledge of God, we are to pull down those strongholds. I bind that spirit of division in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bind that spirit of infirmity in the name of the Lord Christ. I bind that spirit of confusion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I speak life to it, Lord. Raise up this nation again, Lord. Let it be mighty again. Let it bring you glory again. Let there be an honoring of the family, honoring of relationships, an ordering of what has been placed out of order. How many know God will hear those prayers and he will answer them? So that's your job, should you decide to accept it. And you already did a long time ago. So turn to somebody and just say, just do it. We looked at how to release the power of God through your life. We also declared, and this was the whole thing, we declare the power to believe that God has for us and also the power to release or to declare that situation. I declare in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that this situation will be fixed. How many know that's greater than any power that can try to unfix it? Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. And when we start living in that revelation, and we're going to need it, folks. You think there has been contention and assaults and attacks this past year or 8 years? You wait. Because the enemy, and I'm prophesying, but we're not bringing dread or fear. But you watch what's going to happen. The enemy does not like to lose. And all that can happen to keep him in that place, or to keep him from regaining ground, it's for the Christians to do nothing. This is not a political thing, as I told you a couple weeks ago. We're dealing with a spiritual matter that only we as Christians can defeat. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Only we as Christians can take back which has been taken over by the enemy. And if we stand fast in the liberty where Christ has set us free and no longer be entangled by the yoke of bondage, then what we will do because of the authority that God has given to us is to push back the powers of the enemy as he's encroached into what God gave mankind and gave the church to protect and to watch over. Does anybody know what I'm saying? How many people are hearing it? Wait for the new anointing that is about ready to fall. Because as I said at the beginning of the year, God's anointing must be greater than the powers of the enemy. It must be, or we would be defeated. And I guarantee you, like I said before, in the last days, the enemy is going to try to come in like a flood. And for those who voted for our president-elect, do not believe for a moment that he does not need our prayers, that he is now going to be in the cabinet and everything else trying to write things, write them, not write, but R-I-G-H-T. There's going to be an all-out attack upon him and anything that will try to regain what we have lost in this country. And I declare in the name of Jesus Christ that America will be great again, and that we will stand under God, and we will honor Israel, and we will stand with them. And right now in these last days, 61 day or whatever, there is a major attack from this nation that is focused on Israel through the United Nations today. Right now, there is an undermining through the United Nations, something to be established that will again contradict God's word about Israel in their land. And it's going to take prayer. It's going to take the power of God to undo what has been done. And I believe, and I've said it before, that the reason why this nation, one of the major reasons why this nation was great, is because we stood with God's word, and where God says, "Who bless, I will bless. And those who curse you, I will curse." And I don't know about you, but I haven't seen a whole lot of grace on this country. I've seen a whole lot of mercy, but I've not seen a whole lot of grace. And I know the powers of the enemy are going to try everything, so we are responsible for how this country moves forward. Because it's not a political thing. And I feel a stirring in my spirit that God says, "I'm about ready to release a new anointing. I've been talking about this all year." And that's what we're believing for. We also looked at the power to believe God will use you, and we began that last week. Thank you for all the comments. Our key is you remember who we are in Christ. As I said last time, there are a lot of people who are apprehensive about being used by God until they find out who they realize who they are in God. One of the most incredible, or one of the most powerful tools of the enemy against the Christian, is to keep those people from releasing what God has placed within them. You shall receive power, the Holy Spirit, the word says. Power literally means to do. And I explained about the battery. You got all this power, and what he wants to do, and he has done, is cause the church to become, or to remain powerless. And there's going to be that clarion call that goes out. Right now, we between now and January the 20th, there is an incredible spiritual warfare that needs to be raised up to the church. Because there's a desperation now in order to try to set things into order that cannot be released. So I want you to be aware of this, and we pray and we lay hold of what God is saying to make this nation great again, to make this nation God again. Amen? Amen. Until we realize who we are in Christ and the authority that God's given to us, a lot of people sit back on their power. And I told you, one of the greatest tools of the enemy is a powerless church. 81% of the, or 80-something percent of the Christians voted for Trump. Excuse me. Watch out for that step. 81% of the Christians voted for Trump. And look what happened. Look what happened. When we as the church come together and begin to acknowledge that greater is He that is within us, then nothing is impossible for those that believe. Boy, another crowd would be clapping and all that kind of stuff. But another way I say it, in order to believe God through you, you have to believe God to you. My little animation didn't work. Spent a lot of time on that too. Let's try it. Yeah, you got it. In order to believe God through you, you have to believe God in you or to you. And once you understand who you are in Christ, then something will change in your spirit, man. Just like Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Acts chapter 2 was the outworking of the power that they received. And they went out and changed the world. 120 people. 120 people changed the world. He had shown himself to 500. I don't know where the other 500 was. They came along later. Because the first altar call, there were 3,000 people that were saved. Peter, who was afraid to testify to a little cleanup girl, lady, I know who you are. You were with Jesus. He swore. I don't know what the blankety blank you're talking about. I don't even know the blankety blank guy. Fill in the blanks. Peter, scared to death. And then he spent the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks beating himself up by what he said about the Lord, because he said, Lord, I'll never deny you. And God used that man, to be the first preacher. You know, there's not altar calls in the Bible. That's just a tradition of man. It's a good thing. But he called. They asked, what's going on here? These people look like they're drunk. They're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning, he says. But what you see here is the testimony of what you've been hearing about, in that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, rose from the dead. We saw him. 500 people saw him. And we testify to him. This is that. He who was ashamed of himself, he who was, in fact, one of the things that when you look at Scripture, Jesus says to Mary, tell all my disciples and Peter. Bring them here. Tell all my disciples and Peter. Did he cease to be a disciple? No. But he didn't feel that he was anymore. How many know God's position is? And that he never gives up. He never gives up. He's not going to let us down, even when we are stuck on stupid. Right? Aren't you happy for that? But that doesn't mean we can stay stuck on stupid. Because when you're stuck on stupid, you're just stupid, right? As I said, I wanted to establish the foundations of this. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you, giving you the hope of glory. And the paraphrase, one of the paraphrases that I found is, Christ living in you through the Holy Spirit, assuring you of his blessing. The Holy Spirit is placed within you to enable you, to give you revelation and understanding, but also to affirm you and to encourage you and to remind you. So it's time that we start listening to the Holy Spirit instead of listening to ourselves or all the other things that are trying to if we understand the process, to keep us powerless, to keep us from acting, to keep us from getting into that, into your ministry, which is part of your destiny. Boy, that was good to me. Christ in you, living in you, through the Holy Spirit, assuring you of his blessing. Christ in me. We saw, if you believe, you can boldly say those things that we talked about last week. And I encourage you, I don't want to even go through them again. I want you to listen to the message again. That's one of the ones you should put on your, whatever you put on, and listen to it over and over again because it encourages you. Next, what I want us to look at is, again, the power to believe God will use you. But I want to approach it from a position of communion. Because that was the sign. We have the Holy Spirit. That's the sign. That's the stamp that we are and have been brought into the family. But communion, and I've probably done thousands of communions, but every time there is a fresh revelation, there's a fresh understanding. And what I want us to look at this morning, we can say boldly, in Christ, I can come before the Lord boldly and with confidence. Hebrews chapter 4:16, here's another version of what I read earlier. Let us enter into the presence of the Lord with confidence and assurance that he has accepted us so that we may receive his compassion for our failures and his unmerited favor to supply whatever our need may be. That is a powerful, powerful verse. We don't know who wrote it, but we do know that the Word of God is inspired by the Holy Spirit. A lot of people think that this was that Paul wrote Hebrews. We theologians disagree with that. It's not his style of writing. But it was talking to the Jewish people who had an understanding of God. And the letter to the Hebrews was written to the Hebrews. Those who had an understanding of what God is. And then a transformation of that revelation or expounding on elaborating or exposing all of those of what the truth was, that we literally can go before God, that the Jews felt that they were inadequate or unable to enter into the presence of Almighty God to receive the forgiveness and to receive the assurance. And to them, it was blowing their mind. They couldn't even say the name of God. It was so, so holy. And the Sadducees and the Pharisees, who were the ones that were supposed to be the link between God and them, to bring them into revelation that we do have access into the... They basically were dead at the wheel. And they did what so many religious people do. And then instead of understanding God's grace that we've been talking about, what they did is they made rules and regulations. So we knew whether or not we were doing right. If we were doing right, then we have access to God. But it never works that way. In fact, a lot of people are, and I read it from Scripture, that God gave us the Ten Commandments to cause us to fail. Go figure. God, if you look through Leviticus and all the different things, that the reason why the rules and regulations were there by God is to show man, to cause man to fail. Now that doesn't seem right, does it? How many know he was going somewhere with it? Nobody can keep the Ten Commandments. Nobody can keep the law. It was never there to be kept. It was there to expose that we are inadequate to approach God by rules and regulations and things that were incorrectly defined. But man always wants to do something to prove himself to God instead of just coming to God and loving him. That's too hard. Tell me something to do, Pastor. Give me 50 religious push-ups. That's the way mankind always has been. And you look at the mainline denominations, the rules and regulations and all the things that man has set up. It's there to be able to bypass. And you know what happens? It brings us into greater condemnation. Right? I mean, I'm a Christian now. I have the Holy Spirit. And I still can't do it. I still can't keep my mouth shut. I still can't keep from thinking things. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So how does that make you feel? My God, am I ever going to be? And I hope that you got the revelation and I said, you can't do it. You weren't made to do it. So all of a sudden that brings an incredible sense of freedom if you get it. But man has a propensity to go back, I should be doing something, or I want to do something to prove to God that I love them. And we always slip back into that situation which bypasses that love relationship with God. I'm saying amen. We always want to do something because that's the way man is wired. If I go to school, if I study, if I do this, and if I have all the accoutrements, then I'll get the job and then I'll be able to prove that I'm doing, and when I have an assessment or whatever, I'm doing good, so I'll get promoted and all this kind of stuff. It's always, that's the way mankind operates. But when it comes to God, it's not that way. And we have a tendency to look at that performance issue, which literally shuts down God in our lives. Come as you are. I don't need you to be perfect. In fact, as soon as you get perfect, I don't want you. Because you're deceived, right? God made us to be dependent upon him. But what happens with mankind so often is they leave it in the place where I know I can't do it. And that's where man comes. And now we continue to fall back into that because we feel inadequate and all that kind of stuff. So we've got to do something to define ourselves, even as Christians. And when we come to that understanding that God, you made me. I wonder if I can say it that way. Yeah, I'll try it. Okay? You made me to fail. How about that? Oh, that's blasphemy. God made us to fail. How many people live up to that? How many people beat themselves up because they failed? Yeah? How many with the new revelation that you were made to fail by yourself now take on an incredible sense of joy knowing that I can't do it? And it's freedom. That's the good news. You were made to fail. Shall we close in prayer? That's an awesome revelation. I can do all things through me who have done enough push-ups, have done enough spiritual things, went to so many first Fridays, did so many communions, said so many rosaries, did all these things. For you who know what I'm talking about, know what I'm talking about. So therefore, I am. But you know, I did all of that, and I still feel like junk. And so many, I'm talking about other mainline denominations too, they stop there. They stop there. And that's why their relationship with Christ, the Christianity, is nothing but emptiness. And I've had people tell me, why do I want to go to church? All I do is get beat up. I says, who's beating you up? He says, either the people, the preacher. And I'm not talking about just Catholics, by the way. Every time they talk about it, I feel guilty. How do you answer that kind of question? Every time I go to church, I come out of it feeling terrible. Come to church with me. How do you think? What do you think? Boy, he said it in a, wow. But you know, I feel like I've just been slimed. Why do I want to go there? Was the preaching good? I don't know. Sounded good. I liked it when he was quieter than screaming at me all the time. But I felt, how are we doing? Good. I felt terrible. And everything he said, I did. I'm not going back there anymore. They don't like me there. And apparently God doesn't like me either. I wonder, how many percentage of Christians believe that? You'd be surprised. Because it's man's taste of what it means to be holy. And my message, that's why people love to hear my messages. I've got good news. You can't do it. And when you think you can, you're in trouble. God, you know who I am. You made me. And then I added some more to it. But I come to you as humble as I can. And I say, Lord, I need healing in my head, in my spirit, man. I need something. I've heard people say, I can't do it. I've heard people say that God loves me. I've had all that. But God, I can't get it into my spirit, man, into my head. I don't understand you, God. Help me to understand that you love me. That I don't have to do all these things. Help me to understand that I'm accepted. That you love me. Especially when I don't love myself. Jesus, in the Last Supper, which is also called the Lord's Table or Communion, underlines this fact. And I tell you, unless you get this, unless you understand who you are, God's called you to be, and his you buy his definition of you, you will continue to be neutralized because you will not step out into God's anointing and will get up to the line and will stay there because once I do this, then I'm going to absolutely be overwhelmed. So we stand safely. I mean, most people are back there. So we come up to the line. You're awesome, God. I love you, God. Thank you for that revelation. He says, now be a doer of the word. Be a doer of the word. God gave us revelation to cause us to be doers of the word. And that's why I get you to, I make you confess it. I'm not only a hearer that does not do, one or two things are going to happen. You're either going to explode, or you're not going to be able, you won't get any more. And I know people, how many Christians come up to the line, and they'll go back, fall back, and then come up to the line again, and stand on the line. God says, it doesn't begin until you step onto the field. You can sit back in the bleachers and rah-rah all you want. But until you step on the field, all you are is an observer. Right? You know, I'm going to tell you a secret. None of this was in the message that I prepared. What happens, like I said last week, you prepare as if there's no God, studying the Word of God, getting it into you, and then you step out and you say, here, God, use me. And you'll be surprised how he will use you in ways that you never thought he could use you. But you got to step over the line, folks. And until you know who you are, you're not going to do it. But, maybe positive, when you know who you are, then that little verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, begins, like I said last week, it becomes part of your song. It becomes part of your life. It becomes a driving force. Jesus underlines this in the Last Supper, what I've been talking about. Do this to remember me. Do this. He didn't say, think this or pray this. He said, do. What part of do don't you understand? Do what I've taught you. Once you understand that, remember. Remember what I've taught you for 3 years. Remember what I've taught you, he's telling the disciples. Remember the time, you know, when Jesus said, I tell you the truth? It's not to say, well, I've been telling you lies up to this point. Or in another translation, verily, verily, I say to you. What he was saying is, I want you to remember this. This is important. And at the end of the time, he says, I want you to do something that will cause you to remember what I have told you. And that was, eat. When you eat, remember what I've told you. And he took the whole thing. Communion, God's way to remind us, I will never leave you or forsake you. Every time I come to the place where I'm sitting down, God said to me, in the midst of my situation, Lord, where I feel like I'm out here by myself, God says, remember, remember, I promised you, I will never leave you or forsake you. You can't hide from me. You can't run from me. You can't do anything. I am not letting you go, and I will not abandon you. Also says, I will guide and direct you. Lord, I don't know what to do. How many know that's part of you're inadequate? Right? How many times in life, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what to do. Well, what should we do? I think we should pray. Well, that's good. Gives up God. But I don't know what. And man lives a life with, I got to call pastor. Pastor, what am I supposed to do? Anybody have done that? Well, that's what I'm here for. But I told you, I don't want to just teach you how to fish. I want to hand you a fishing pole. Because you got to hear for other people. Right? That's called ministry. Well, I know that you walk with God, Sam, Joe, Pete, whatever. What is it that I'm supposed to? I see you. I see you praying. Can you talk to God for me? It happens all the time. It will happen even more. God, you said if anyone lack wisdom, let him ask. I'm afraid I won't hear. You just became a wave. Right? If anyone lacks wisdom, let him come and ask God, who will give freely. But don't be like the waves. And a lot of times, the only way people come to God when they're desperate to hear from them. Yeah. God doesn't want us just coming to God when we're desperate. Hearing from God is a lifestyle, right? My sheep hear my voice. He didn't say some sheep. He didn't say the big sheep. He said, my sheep. How many people are sheep? You hear his voice. Those listening online, you hear his voice. I do? I do? Yes, you do. And it's amazing how he leads us by our desires, holy desires. And the more that you connect with God, the clearer the words become. The more you connect, that means the more you want of the Lord. Not just out of desperation. Lord, what would you have? And that's probably one of the greatest points of timidity. Pastor, I don't hear God. I say to them, then you're contradicting the word of God, and that's one of the reasons why. Right? How many know that that's the truth? And you shall know the truth, and the truth will do what? Bind you up more. That's not what it says. If you realize that you can hear from God, and you say you can't hear from God, what are you doing? But arguing with God. And I told you this, didn't I? You argue with God, what happens? You win. I can't hear you. All right. That's the way you want it. I'll honor whatever you have to say, but that's not the truth. I hear from God, and God, I expect you to give me the answer on this particular situation, how to do it. I expect that from you. I can't go any further on that, but I will turn all things to the good. This doesn't look good, but you said it'll be good, God. That's where I got my pony from. Communion reminds us that I will provide. God didn't say sometimes, didn't say when you're great or when you're doing things good. He didn't say that when you get your act together. He said, I will provide. I am Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, I am the God that provides. If you are in the club which means you have to recognize, and this is one of the challenges to being able to be involved with a club, is you have to recognize that you're a failure. So that's a club. I have to know the reason that I am a sinner and I'm saved by grace. It's one of the requirements to get in the club. That you're unable, that you're incapable, that you mess things up. Right? How you feel about that? It's freeing if you understand. There's only one perfect one, and he's not here anymore. But he has sent his Spirit. And he says, I will provide. He also said, I will help you. Simple thing. When you do this, remember that I will help you. Every time you sit down, I want you to remember these things. Remember what I have taught you. Remember what God, by your Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, in your personal revelation, has taught you. I will protect you. Lord, I feel like I'm very vulnerable in this situation, and my boss, my whatever, I feel that they're out to get me, and all these kinds of things that so I hear it so often in this pressure cooker place where we're living. My manager. You know why people are managers? Because they can't do what they manage. My manager doesn't like me. This other one is someone that's kissing up to him, her, whatever it might be, and they're the one that's talking about me and all kinds of things. How many people ever heard that story? How many people have ever been that story? God says, I will protect you. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. You're there because I put you there, and hell or high water is not going to move you. I mean, you know, that's a better way to approach things. How would you like to live in that situation when you didn't know the Lord or the fullness of the Lord? Wear the pajaggers out of you. I don't know what a pajagger is, but that's a thing that they attack. And life is not happy. And we're neutralized. God says, I'll protect you. Don't you try to protect yourself. Do what I tell you to do, but don't go out there trying to defend yourself. I wish I had a dollar inflation. I wish I had a dollar for every time the Lord says, don't you defend yourself. I go, but, yep. That's not tongues. That's a sign of an idiot. Okay. How do you know that when God protects us, you're protected? When God protects us, and he says, I've got your front, I've got your back, I've got your sides. Let him do the work. Also, I'll help you reach your destiny. I know the plans that I have for you, and I will keep you in my love. And I will keep my promises to you. The promises are yes, unto us, and amen. Yes, from God, and amen to us, from us. Right? You understand that? We like to say yes and amen. No. It's from God. It's yes from God. We are the ones that add the amen. And what does amen mean? I agree with you. To agree touching anything, it shall be done by him. And he's the one that's promised you. What in heaven's name do we have to worry about? Amen? All right. Communion reminds us that the Lord has released to us the power to believe. I'm going to have you do something this time. But let's set the stage. Let's set the stage. Okay? How many people have taken communion many, many times? How many people will say, I've taken it hundreds of times? How many know that this is not a religious, whatever. All of that. Jesus was not into religion. But there are certain things that he says that I want you to repeat these things because it's important. I walk into my house and open the garage door, and I walk through the garage into my house. But before I get to the door, there's this little thing that goes blink, 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 blink. And you know what it does? It reminds me to shut the garage door. There are things in our life that God says, I want these things to remind you of. While they were, and this is one of the most incredible, guys, whoever serving communion, let's go ahead and, I don't want you to take the elements until we tell you. You can go pass it out. Thank you. You don't have to pay attention to them. They're highly trained. So you listen to me. Just hold it or put it down by your side. Remember, this is the supper. They supped many times with Jesus. They supped many times with Jesus. But they knew this particular night was something special. And Jesus, as he said in Matthew 26, says, while he was eating, Jesus took bread and broke it and gave it to the disciples. Take, eat, this is my body. He basically, and he'd been telling them that he was going to be crucified. And remember what happens, this goes the next step is going into the Garden of Gethsemane. So Jesus says, guys, I want you to listen to this. This is my body which was broken for you. I want you to remember. He said, I'm going to be crucified. And the reason I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to take upon so that you don't have to. And of course, he's talking about the judgment of God. My body is going to be broken so that yours does not have to be broken. And he took, this is my body, and it's going to be broken for you so that you don't have to be broken. Take, eat this, and I'll tell you when. Take, eat this, and remember that I have been broken so that you don't have to be broken. You don't have to live the broken lives that so many separated from your God, because I'm going away. And you need to remember. And he took the cup. And this is so powerful. He says this. He gave thanks for it and offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my covenant, blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And he basically says, this cup represents my blood. And that was a weird statement. But they also knew that unless the covenant could be fulfilled, there had to be a shedding of blood. That's why the Old Testament is replete with sacrifices. He says, I'm giving you a new covenant in my blood, which means you don't bring the blood, I bring the blood. Up until that time, mankind brought the sacrifice, and the priest took the blood, sacrificed the animal. But he says, now I'm making a covenant with you, and I'm bringing the blood. It will be my blood for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. So every time that you feel that you are unforgiven, go back and remember the cup that I shed my blood for you. Paul underlines that, for I received of the Lord, I also pass on to you. Now, what's happening, Paul is sharing to the Gentiles, to us, not to the Jews, but to the Gentiles. He says, God told me that this is very important, that I want you, just like I saw, for I received from the Lord what also I pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, Paul wasn't there. He took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. That's so powerful. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. He is sharing to the church at Corinth, saying, this is something that is important to God, to Jesus our Lord. And every time you do this and you remember it, what you're doing is proclaiming the Lord's death. And I've told you before, I'll say it again, I didn't like that. I thought he made a mistake. I thought it should, every time you do this, you're proclaiming the Lord's resurrection. But he says no. And I asked the Lord about that. I don't want to proclaim your death. I want to proclaim your resurrection. I proclaimed your death long enough. He says, what broke the powers of hell in your life? What opened the prison doors? Not my resurrection, but my death. So when you do this, what you're doing is you're underlining the fact that everything, every power in hell has been broken. I defeated hell by my death. The results of that defeat of the enemy is that I prophesied that I would come back again. We don't focus on the death. We proclaim the death, and then we walk in the victory. We're about ready to partake. When we receive the bread, the bread which represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, it represents health and provision. Health and provision. God, you will supply my every need. You have given me the bread of provision of Jehovah Jireh. This is, I take into me a physical act of again remembering your provision. Lord, we remember what you said. And now, by faith, I receive your provision for me. Let's partake together. Thank you, Lord. if not now, someday, you'll understand. And many have, many do, the revelation of what you just did. It's absolutely the whole basis of the covenant that God has made with us. When you come to the Lord's table and you release your faith in the cup, the blood, the death of Christ, you will receive forgiveness for our sins, past, present, and future, and also authority with the power to defeat the powers of the enemy, fear and worry and anxiety and all these things. When I take the cup, what I am saying, I have been forgiven of my sins, washed clean by the blood, and then the enemy can't come back to me and cause me to live in fear and worry, anxiety, because Jesus says the blood has destroyed the powers of the enemy because there's power in my blood. Thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness of sins, past, present, and future. Thank you, Lord, that I have authority over the powers of the enemy that would try to do everything it possibly can and anything that it can to keep me powerless and not walking in faith. And Lord, I proclaim by faith and I receive all that this means in Jesus' name. Let's partake together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Next, how many know that when we're obedient to the Lord, He blesses us, or He can bless us, let's put it that way. Now, communion reminds us that we have access to receive the power to believe, to come boldly before the throne of grace, to release our faith. Power to be able to come boldly before the throne of grace, to receive what we need. The power to have faith in that what God says, I am Jehovah Jireh. What I want to do right now, we're going to take a few moments, and I want you, you and the Lord, I want you, whatever the area of need that you may have. Oh, Pastor, I need all of them. Well, I don't want a blanket kind of thing. Whatever the area of need you see in the situation, I want, for example, Father, forgive me. I just felt like I need forgiveness. Lord, I thank you. By faith, I receive forgiveness for what I did last week or for that situation that's dogging me. By faith, I lay hold of it, your forgiveness in Jesus' name. Or it may be that you need to have encouragement. Or maybe it might be that you need to have health. Lord, I'm thanking you that you do heal me. And by faith, I say to you that you are able to body. And I stand by faith receiving that. You go through whatever area that you need. And you have a few moments to do this. Just you and God approaching Him with boldness for whatever that need is. Hallelujah. I want to live in your peace. And I receive that by faith, God. You will keep me in perfect peace. My mind is stayed upon you. whatever that need is. Jesus says, come boldly before my throne. Thank you, Lord. Need freedom, Lord. I'm tired of being bound by this situation. I'm tired of going around the mountain over and over again. I name this situation. You know it before I even ask. Thank you for freedom, God. Thank you for deliverance, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I'm asking for a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit. I heard the message today, Lord, that the enemy is going to try everything he possibly can to throw at me, to neutralize me. But I confess that you are greater. Greater are you in me. And it says, Lord, you daily release your grace. And I posture myself, Lord, to receive that fresh infilling, that new to overflowing. Thank you for that empowerment that enables me to step beyond the barrier. For the anointing of ministry. God, I want that. I want people to know by faith I come and I lay hold. I lay hold of that boldness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. By faith, which is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things we've not yet seen, God heard your prayer. And by faith, we lay hold of it. Do this, the Lord said, to remember me. Last week I said, the Lord is opening a door to receive from him the blessing, both individual Christian, the family, and to this nation. And what we're going to be doing is posturing ourselves to be able to receive that so that we can do what he's called us to do. And again, this nation, through us working as instruments of God's hand, because we have been set free, we can now set the ground. Do this to remember what our Lord has taught us. And do it with a smile on your face, because you look better when you're being happy about it. And it is good news. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's stand and give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. Hallelujah. I want more of a clap than that. Amen. Amen.
Find you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. To keep my eyes above the waves. Take your neighbor's hand. Father, I pray for my brother and my sister that, Lord, the anointing that you purposed for them will be readily received. That by your Holy Spirit, they will walk into all that you have shared even today. That we might see your kingdom come, your will be done, being established. Thank you for the privilege of being your instrument. And I agree with them for that anointing for their lives. Let your neighbor's hand go. Lift your hands before the Lord. Father, we thank you that that's a sign of surrender, but it's also a sign of acknowledging who we're surrendered to. And we lay hold of your provision, God. And we confess that greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. And we confess that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we are more than conquerors through Christ. Thank you for that. I release the blessings and the benediction. May the favor of the Lord rest upon you. Establish the work of your hands. Yes, establish the work of your hands. And we claim that together in victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. Turn around, give somebody a hug. Have an awesome week. Sign up in the back. Bless you.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday sermon message. Pastor Babish is available for personal and family counseling. Please click the Counseling tab for more information. Again, we would like to invite you to attend our Sunday service or call our office if you have any questions. May the Lord richly bless you.